Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today's Tuesday, May 29th. We're back after a long weekend. Mm-hmm. For you, it was 3 days. For me, it was about five.
No, it was 5 days for me too, Sam.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Because you weren't here since Thursday either. Well, I figured maybe you were doing something else, you know. I don't know.
No, definitely not.
No, right?
I was not.
Wow. So, welcome to the show, everybody. I hope everyone had a great weekend. How was yours?
Pretty boring.
Boring?
Yeah. Thursday, nothing. Friday, I went to a day party, and I was drunk by like 5 and asleep by 7.
But that sounds like fun, right?
It is until you wake up the next morning and
really?
You want to die.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Saturday, I did nothing, but then like at 4 o'clock in the morning, my phone went off, and it was like this number I didn't have saved. I'm like, who the hell would be calling me at 4 o'clock in the morning? So I'm thinking it's like someone in my family, and I pick up, and it's this guy I used to like talk to. He's like, hey, it's an emergency. Can you like help me out? I haven't seen him in a year.
Oh,
so I'm
wow.
like, what type of emergency are we yeah. talking about?
Why
like,
are you calling me?
It's 4 o'clock in the morning, but I literally just woke up to go to the gym. So I was like, fine, I'll come over. So he had this guy in his apartment who was bisexual.
Uh-huh.
And the guy wanted to hook up with him. So he wanted me to come and save him.
Really?
And I'm like, but why?
At 4 o'clock in the morning.
That's what I'm saying. It's a what little weird fuck? To you.
What's going on?
Like, how did he
there?
End up at your apartment at this late of an hour by
right.
yourself?
And why are you calling me if I haven't talked to you in like a year, did you say?
I haven't talked to him in a year. I haven't seen him in a year.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
This is bullshit. I don't know what's going on there, but it's weird.
And they were both doing like coke still when I got there. And I'm like, you guys know it's like 9 o'clock, like about to be 9 o'clock in the morning.
Uh-huh.
So I smoked weed with them. Uh-huh. And I don't know what type of weed it was, but I freaked out. I called my dad. I was like, hey, dad, I just got drugged.
Oh, no. You got to stay
it's
away
called
from
indigo?
This.
It's called indigo?
Indica. No, but that's just a part.
I've never smoked that before in my life.
No, everything is, look, everything's either indica or sativa, okay?
Okay.
There's one that brings you up a little bit, and one is like a head high, and the other one's a body high.
Whatever the
you
body high
the body
was.
High.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, my God. No.
No, you've had it, but just not as strong.
I thought they put coke in my drink. I was like, which one of you put coke
God.
In my drink?
Yeah. No, coke would make you like that. Coke would make you speed up.
Yeah, no.
You're crazy. Stay away from that shit, okay?
Yeah, and then yesterday I got dressed to go to a day party that Chris Brown was hosting. And by the time I got there, it was like an all-white neighborhood. And there were so many black people that I've never seen anything like it. Every single white neighbor was out filming. They called the cops. The party got shut down. Like filming all of us, yeah.
No.
We were getting flicked off. I was like, this is crazy. I've never seen anything like it.
Wow.
Yeah. So I got dressed for nothing.
So they canceled the party?
Well, I got shut down.
Are you serious?
Shut down. Shut all the way down.
Wow.
Yeah. That's I couldn't even eat the chicken and waffles that they had there. I literally got dressed for the food and I couldn't even eat.
Yeah.
So that was my weekend. How
yeah,
was yours?
Great weekend. And so that was when? Saturday?
The drugs or the party that got shut down?
The one that got shut down.
Yesterday.
Oh, yesterday.
Mm-hmm, Monday.
Monday.
It was supposed to be like a Memorial Day pool party.
Wow, how terrible, man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to tell you. For those of you just joining us, you can join us on Facebook, too. We're doing Facebook Live on the LA Talk Radio page. You can see us there. We have two beautiful guests here, and we'll bring them on in just a moment. And Just to cover a couple of things over the weekend, I went to San Francisco for my son's graduation. It was amazing. We were like in the huge stadium, the baseball stadium.
Yeah.
Who plays for San Francisco? Does anybody know?
I know what's like the 49ers are out there, but
no,
I think that's
but that's football,
football
right? I don't know who plays. I totally don't follow baseball, but it was a beautiful field. You could see like the bay and ships and shit like
graduations
that.
Graduations are so boring. I'm sorry.
No, it was 3 hours of people
God.
Talking. But it was just exciting to be with the family and
right.
stuff, you know, eating popcorn, hot dogs, shit like that, you
mm-hmm.
know. So that was nice.
Yeah.
And to see him graduate and everything. And then on Saturday, there was a smaller one like inside an auditorium, you know, in a theater.
Like a two-part graduation?
Well, one was like for the whole school. Gotcha. And this one was just for the chemistry, biochemistry department.
Gotcha, gotcha.
So it was a lot smaller.
Mm-hmm.
But there you got to see the professors, you can meet with them, shake hands, you know, see them get the diploma, mm-hmm. all that. So that was fun too, you know, and we spent time together with him, my daughter. We went to, I was telling you before the show, to Haight Street, and that's where, a lot of rock and roll in the 70s, the 60s, the hippies.
Right.
The hippie movement started there. So it's pretty cool, you know, you go into all these shops, and it's all like music, weed, you know.
How was the weather? Because it was cold here, so I imagine it was colder there.
It was chillier, yeah. I mean, at night in the stadium, you can imagine you're sitting outside with a cold wind.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of chilly. Miserable. But it didn't bother me at all. Yeah, no, that was fine. But I won't be going to San Francisco for a while because now my son moved back.
Right.
And besides, you know, I mean, I've been there enough times. There's not much to see.
Yeah.
But once you've seen all the
stuff.
That's
not on my, like, list of things to get done this year.
Yeah.
Let me go to San Francisco.
But it is a vibe, you know, you have to admit. You know, it seems like nobody gives a shit about anything.
What, in San Francisco?
Don't care. Yeah. They just don't care, you know?
I almost died in San Francisco, so I literally will... I don't think I'll ever go back.
Really?
Yeah.
Died where? Driving or something?
Well, I used to have this roommate who was dating this guy, and he's like, let's go to San Francisco for the day. And he was Irish, and I knew he was an alcoholic. Like, I've seen him drink before, so I was like, hey, I'm going to bring my glasses, because I'm not going to drink. I'll drive us home, if anything.
Right.
So we ended up going, and the whole time he's getting tanked on the beach. It's just like a bunch of people with a bonfire, like random strangers we've never seen before. So I go, hey, can I drive home?
Uh-huh.
He's like, no, my car's brand new. I go, so do you want to die tonight, or right. do you want me to drive you home? But I was really young at the time, so I got in the back seat. He did like almost 120 around the bend, like, you know, when you're turning into.
Yeah. Oh my God.
He hit the guardrail. We spun out of control. Luckily, we crashed into the side, but the whole right side of the car was totaled.
Smashed it.
Both the front airbags got out. My friend and him got out of the car and ran. They left the scene of the accident and left me in the backseat.
And what did they think they were doing? I mean, what, nobody will know. Nobody will find them, right?
Yeah, so I had to take a taxi home all the way from San Francisco. It was like $220. And I was like 19 and broke. Wow. So I was devastated.
I'm
but it
sure
was scary.
You were. God, that's scary as hell.
Mm-hmm.
And they just bailed on you.
Yeah. Liquor's a bitch, man. People do not think when they drink.
No, I don't. You know, I don't like people that drink a lot. I really don't.
I drink a lot, but like I'm smart about it.
If they make themselves stupid, then it's not. There's
just Uber. But Uber drivers these days, it's like, can we trust you?
I got to tell you about this Uber, and then we'll bring on our guests. But so I was going to the graduation on Thursday, and my son said, take an Uber because there may not be any parking.
Right.
There's going to be a lot of traffic, blah, blah, blah. So I call an Uber from my phone. And it keeps saying another 11 minutes, 11 minutes, 11 minutes, and the time's going by. And I'm waiting for the guy. And I'm seeing him, like, kind of get lost and shit,
right.
You know. So then he calls me after about 10 minutes, and he says, I can't find you. I said, well, just follow the map. I mean, you know, it's like right here. I put the address. I'm at the Marriott, you know. He's like, I'm not familiar with the area. I said... So he says, cancel the call. I said, okay. No. So, no, I hung up on him when he said cancel, right? Then I go to cancel, and it tells me you have to pay $5.
Yeah, if you cancel.
Right.
Yeah.
But
that's why he told you to cancel.
Right.
Yeah.
So then I call him back, and I said, I can't cancel because it's going to cost me $5. He says, well, it's your fault. I can't find you.
That's what
he said.
Yeah, Uber and Lyft drivers are the ultimate dicks.
Right?
I'm like, no, I'm not canceling. Like, yesterday my Lyft showed up and it says, like, you have 1 minute to get downstairs. But a normal Lyft driver, if you're, like, a little bit over the 1 minute, they're going to wait.
Yeah, they don't
This
care.
Guy literally, as I'm
Took
walking
off.
Out of the apartment, beeped his horn and waved at me and was like, bye.
Are you
I was
serious?
Like, yo.
Wow.
And canceled. I had to pay for it.
Yeah, so the guy tells me, I don't know the area. You can't. I said... So I went ahead and canceled it.
I didn't know that they charged you by the minute or the mile, because I thought when you order it and it has that set price, that's your price, but it can go up. Did you know that?
Well, maybe if... Oh, after you called it already?
Yeah, so say when you call an Uber and it says $5.92. Like, okay. I'm thinking it's $5.92. But if there's, like, a lot of traffic or something, your price goes up.
Yeah, but not by that much. The time doesn't really take as much as it does on taxis and stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
But at any rate, you know, I mean, the thing is...
Does anyone even use taxis anymore?
Some people do it. Look, it sometimes it makes more sense if you don't want a drunk driver, you know. Because you don't know what those... Uber drivers do, you know, they probably get high, they drink, you know.
Yeah, you don't know.
And then if there's an accident, it's debatable who's responsible. And all that. With a taxi, you know who to sue, you know.
Right.
Anyway, folks, enough of this nonsense. We're going to bring in our guests. We have two amazing guests. We're going to have a great show today. So I'm going to introduce to you Dimitri Loison. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you.
And Valerie Noble, thank you for coming.
Hello, thank you.
Thank you for joining us. You guys are beautiful and cute and everything, right? I mean, you can see that they care about the way they look.
Yes.
And that's not surprising because you're a fashion photographer, right?
Yep.
Mainly. And you're a hairstylist, makeup artist.
Yes. I could use some of that like this morning, girl.
So they know aesthetics, right? You know what how to look. You don't leave your house in flip-flops like some people do, you know?
I wear flip-flops from time to time, but you know it's illegal to drive in flip-flops.
I had no idea.
I'm sure it is. Yeah. It's
illegal.
That makes sense.
And you can't drive in heels either. And girls be doing it all the time. I'm like, you know that's
illegal,
right?
Oh, you can't drive in heels? Mm-mm. Well, I imagine it's hard to do.
Well, if your heel gets stuck, you could cause the life of yourself or somebody else. Same with flip-flops. Your foot could slide off.
Yeah. That's true.
Which is weird because I see people driving with dogs all the time.
Yeah. In their laps.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just saw it literally when I was driving to work and he almost crashed into like 20 people. I'm
How
like,
is
hey.
That not illegal?
Yeah. He should be in the back seat at least, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, people do all kinds of crazy stuff. So you guys are essentially both in the fashion industry and everything. And you're also here, you'll be hosting a lounge, right? A party, an annual sports event. Do you know anything about... She doesn't know anything about this.
Yeah, I'm just looking like... What?
Well, yeah, it was in the email for sure.
Okay, look what this says.
Well, apparently
happening?
We're going to be there.
Right? Wait, so you guys aren't going? It's EPSIs. It's for the EPSIs. That's what it says.
ESPYs.
ESPYs.
It's like the sports stuff.
Okay, but it says you'll be hosting a pre-ESPY lounge, no?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so you don't know anything about that?
Oh, I do.
Okay.
I do.
July 17th.
Are you guys lying?
You scared me.
No, we
kind of
have to be there, right?
Yeah,
so.
We have to be there.
Oh, you have to be there.
Okay. I'll go. Are there going to be any single athletes there?
There will be athletes, that's for sure.
Yeah, but they're mostly not single, so that's unfortunate.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
So now, so you'll be, I mean, you guys both founded a magazine, online magazine called Regard.
Yes.
When did this happen? When did you guys first meet?
You guys like partners?
Yeah, we are.
Like you shoot, she does the hair and makeup.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can tell you like her story or the truth. I mean, whatever you want to hear.
Both, the truth.
Yeah, it depends how you want to. Yeah.
We want the truth.
Remember, it stays on tape forever. So.
No, we met, Val and I met, what, about 15 years ago.
Oh, so you've known each other for a while.
A long time.
Do you remember how you met? What circumstances?
Oh, that's easy. So I used to have, in North Hollywood, a photography rental studio so that when photographers or videographers wanted to
shoot somebody,
you could come to my studio. Because when I came to L.A., I didn't want to just be a hairstylist at the time. That was just sort of trying to figure out, who do I meet?
Right.
I figured if I had a space that... professionals would come to.
That's
I could
a great idea, you see.
Yeah, that is a really good idea.
I met a lot of great, and got a lot of work, long time work, and somebody I'm still working with after, you know, all these years.
That's true. So you came in there and you shot one time and you met
that guy? I was in there working with another photographer. We were working on a project and he didn't quite work out. But
damn.
Yeah, well, it's kind of obvious.
It was like that.
But so Val and I, you know, Val wasn't working on that particular day. There was another makeup artist and a hairstylist that was working. But there was just something about, just the connection that we had and just the conversations that we had.
Right. That.
And yeah. then, you know, one thing led to another, and we just started working together more and more on photo shoots. And, you know, at that time, it was kind of like we're trying to just get our foot into the door.
Right.
You know, and just, you know, there was no inheritance from any of us. You know what I mean?
Right.
We kind of had to figure it out all on ourselves.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, we just kind of just stuck it out, and we did the things that most people didn't want to do, which is free photo shoots.
Mm-hmm. Right. What is it called? TFP?
TFP. Yep. Well, at the time,
Lots of models.
But, you know, you know, through that process, you find out a lot about yourself.
Right.
You know, you learn more and more about the business side of it, you know, the industry side of it and things like that.
Yeah, well, you build your portfolio too.
Absolutely.
Right? Yes. And like you said, you make a lot of connections.
Right. Yeah. That's the only way it works.
The cool thing about us working together is that we were able to develop like a style, like a signature style.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So the only thing that really changed was just the faces.
Right.
Because the aesthetics and everything were the same. And I just, you know, she has a long, 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 you know, experience with doing hair and doing makeup, and her style is very like old school, very old Hollywood, and I love that.
Like the vintage look?
Oh yeah.
Ooh. Not a vintage per se, like the 50s pinup girl.
Right.
Mine is more like 60s, you know, the
like the Great Gatsby.
No, not that far. More of like Farrah Fawcett. And,
oh yeah.
And a little bit behind that, which are the 60s big bouffant
hairdos.
Which is vintage.
Very coiffs. And it's funny because
updos, that kind of thing.
A lot of hairstylists don't know how to do that either.
Because they don't teach that in hair school, and especially in California, the style that's most popular is that sort of beachy wave.
Mm-hmm.
So up until really only a few years ago, even at the Oscars, they'd be dressed in these beautiful gowns.
It was like a beach wave. Yes,
that
I know.
That would drive me crazy.
And you can do the beach wave yourself. You just get a wand.
Or
put a little hairspray.
Or wake up. Yeah, you know. So now I see more and more that the coiffed kind of look, my old school style, is sort of coming back into play.
Right.
And, you know.
See, I'm obsessed with that look, and I feel like I never see it anywhere.
Yeah. It's
like on the last show that I just filmed last week, and I was like, hey, can I get... She was like, of course, yeah, I'll do it. And the end look, I was like, this is not what I envisioned at all at the beginning of this.
Yeah, because again,
she gave you the remix.
Yes.
If I tell you how long I've been doing hair and makeup, then you understand why I'm sort of rooted in that.
Right.
And so if you're 20 years past when I started,
right,
you don't know anything about that. Mm-hmm. You know, when I went to beauty school, the coiffed look was it.
Right.
Like that's what we were doing. That's what we learned.
Right.
Roller sets, you know, the coiff. So I still have that.
Yeah,
background.
So you decided to stick to that and have like
a niche.
Well,
I do have a haircut background too, because I helped the franchise create their empire.
Really?
Way back when too. Supercuts, remember?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but nobody there can cut hair.
Not anymore.
Oh, my God. I got, when I first moved here, I was like, I don't know where to go. I'm going to Supercuts. This side was shorter. This was longer.
Well,
I was like, this is
with,
not.
With Supercuts, it was always, it was sort of built... And I don't want to really throw them under the bus, but it was really designed for straight hair.
Yeah, not
so
curly.
So if you have any kind of texture and curly, it's hard to... That just requires a lot more experience and a lot more training.
Mm-hmm.
And their training was based on, you know, short haircuts.
The basic,
basic
stuff, right?
Right.
And they did an amazing job. It was fantastic.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, they still are an empire. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
Are they still around?
Yeah.
They're still around. And it's funny, the owners that started it 40 years ago. I've been wanting to get in contact with them, and I haven't been able to find them with all of these gadgets because, I started with them at their, third year.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
And they're
not on social media? That's wild.
Yeah, I can't find them.
I feel
maybe
like everyone...
might be at the ESPY party. Who knows?
Right. Who knows who's going to be there?
I'm
coming with y'all. Just so you know, I invite myself to every party.
That's how you get invited.
Exactly.
Just invite yourself. You guys can follow us on regardmag.com, and you can see a lot of great stuff here. I mean, very classy magazine you have.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up,
and the pictures are just amazing, I got to tell you.
We keep that old school kind of glam, like classic pictures, and the classic pictures have served us well because I'm going to do a little bragging right now.
Right.
4 years ago, we were able to do a photo shoot with the now princess. And Meghan Markle.
Well, she's actually a duchess.
The Duchess Meghan Markle. So who would have known 4 years later that she was going to be princess, but the pictures were used in a couple of publications on the covers. Yeah, because they're classic pictures.
Yeah, so
when
sure.
you're not doing stuff that's trendy, then right. they live a long time.
Right,
so, yeah,
right.
They have pictures around.
So you had a photo shoot with her?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we did a photo shoot with her to promote the show that she was on called yes. Suits.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
this was too. When first, I think when Suits first came on
yeah,
the
first
scene.
Yeah, first or second year, I think.
And yeah, we had her mm-hmm. on like 4 years ago and, you know, she was very, very lovely.
Yeah.
Had no idea, like fast forward like 4 years ago.
Yeah, you know, she probably didn't.
But she did know. Yeah, do you guys know that when she was a kid, she like told everybody that she was going to marry one of the princes?
I mean,
because she was like obsessed
that.
With
yeah,
Princess
I mean,
Diana.
Yeah, yeah.
She probably did. When you have a vision, sometimes you're like, yes.
It's true.
You think she had that on her vision board though?
She literally did. There's like a whole like article about it. She was like, I'm gonna marry one of the princes, and now here
she
is.
She did it.
But he like loves her.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah,
everyone wants a man that looks at them like that. I'm yeah. like, damn, yeah. he's in love with her.
Good chemistry right there.
Yeah,
it really is.
Yeah.
You know what they say, you gotta keep the sack empty. That's
oh
what people
God.
Say. I'm sorry to bring that in, but there was a conversation here on the show the other day of women, okay? And they were talking about like vaginas and things like that. And then, but no, she really talked about marriage, like how to stay married and be happy and everything. And she was describing everything. She also said you got to keep the sack in.
Are you talking about the guest we had like a few weeks ago?
Yeah. Jessica. Remember?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that's how you keep. That's how a princess. That's how a princess keeps a prince happy.
Well, I don't know. I think it might be different in their situations because there's so many. Like, I feel like they have to follow like laws and stuff. No,
no, just customs, maybe, right? But when they're behind closed doors, they don't have to follow anything.
I know, right? I wish they had a camera up in there, like a royal reality show.
Yeah. Anyway, forget my brain fart here. Let's go back. So on regardmag.com, you guys can see a lot of beautiful pictures and models and. Great job on their appearances, you know. I mean, you've done, both of you, tremendous job. And you created a brand.
Yeah.
So when did the magazine, when did you first launch it?
We first launched in 2010. 2009 is when we kind of came up with the concept of doing it.
Right.
And it's crazy because, like, the birth of Regard Magazine actually came from being frustrated with another opportunity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was one of those things that didn't work out that mm-hmm. we thought would.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then you say, know, I'm going to do it myself.
That's right.
Well, that's what Val said. Val was like, you know, Dee, it's never going to work unless we do something on ourselves.
Right.
On our
right.
own. So I said, you know what? Come over tomorrow morning. And, you know, we talked about it and we came up with the concept. We came up with the name. And and it was, you know, it was at a really hard time because that was at the time that we had the first writer strike. For the industry.
Yeah.
And so
gosh.
What was happening is, you know, TV shows weren't getting done.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing was really being produced. But reality television was because it cost nothing to make it and they had a high return.
Right.
So mm-hmm. it was kind of like
they didn't need the writers mm-hmm. for it. So it's non-union.
So it was a time for us to kind of, you know, go under the radar, so to speak, and to be able to build something, put the infrastructure together.
Right, right.
You know, kind of vision and, you know, put the vision together how we wanted it to be.
Right.
Without too many restrictions.
Right.
And we learned a lot about ourselves within that time period, you know.
So in your magazine, you guys do high fashion.
Yep.
Okay, and then when you have, because you have writers in the magazine, obviously, like you have articles, or is it just pictures?
No, it's more pictorials. You know
okay.
I mean? Because here's the thing, like, so many things were happening in 2010,
right?
Kodak was one of the biggest film companies.
Right, right, yeah.
They stopped making film,
you
know, at that particular time.
Do they still make cameras? Like the little Kodak cameras?
No,
probably
Kodak,
not, right?
Kodak went out of business.
Oh, wow.
They have Polaroids, like offshoot cameras that you can get Polaroids, and then the films disappear.
Right,
so
but that's Polaroid.
Yeah, there's no Kodak.
But no Kodak, no. They had trouble, because no more film.
Yeah.
Everything's like technology now.
It was technology in 2010.
Yeah.
I mean, so even just dating back to that time period, you know, we took advantage of the technology and the platform. And
right.
So what we said was we were going to make the magazine digital and we were going to focus on television talent.
Mm-hmm.
Because even at that time, you know, the sales of film started to go down. So I don't know what it was. You know, maybe it was just kind of just, we kind of saw the writing on the wall.
Right.
And just kind of decided to kind of ride that ship.
Right. And you did something you love to do and that you could do yourselves, you know, the best way you can. Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations. That seems like almost like a natural progression from your partnership, you know, and doing this.
And it's almost like everything happens for a reason. Like that first opportunity didn't work out.
Oh, for sure.
Because this was supposed to, you know.
For sure. You know. We actually had a conversation about that this morning. You know, there are things that, you know, for whatever reason, they don't work out.
Right.
You know, you wrangle a talent, you book somebody, and it doesn't go through for whatever reason. And, you know, you of course, you have, like, that initial disappointment.
Right.
But you just have to understand, and I think, you know, time has taught us that, you know, things do happen for a reason, even if, you know, if you're not necessarily aware of it or know what's going on.
Right.
You just got to trust the fact that it's going to work.
Right.
You know? And, and you trust the fact that it's going to work because we put the work behind it.
Right.
You know, and so naturally, that's just how things just fall.
Yeah. Very cool. Mm-hmm. If you're just joining us, you can also see us on Facebook Live. We're joined today by Dimitri Loison. And
good catch.
you guys better not make fun of me because I pronounce it better than any of you. Yes.
That's why I didn't even bother. I'm like, no.
So Dimitri and then Valerie Noble, you guys are very gracious. And just to update you guys, they're the owners of Regard Magazine, and you'll be able to see them live hosting a pre-ESPY lounge July 17th, which we just told them about. They didn't
know. Yes.
You're welcome.
Amazing.
Valerie, are you originally from L.A.?
I am originally from Monterey, California.
Oh, wow. That's very nice up there.
Yeah. Well, there was an Army base there. Yeah.
Oh.
And my dad was in the Army. So that's how I wound up living there.
Did you travel or it was a permanent base for
It was a permanent base. They closed it like 30 years ago, but it was a training base. Oh. And way back in the day.
Yeah.
We got to go to Germany, and then my dad went to Vietnam like three times,
oh,
something
wow.
like that. So we wound up just having to stay in Monterey. But so I grew up in Monterey. I went to Monterey High, and I went to beauty school in Monterey.
That's my biggest regret. I wish I went to beauty school.
Yeah.
Well, go now. It's never too late.
Yeah,
you
I
see,
guess.
That's the thing. She thinks at 30 her life is over.
Well, because everybody wants instant.
I literally turned 30 last week, and I feel like I have arthritis. I've been thinking about it for the past like week. I'm like, oh my god, I have arthritis.
Yeah.
I do. Oh,
don't wish that on yourself, please. Don't talk it up.
He's like being on the computer too much.
Yeah, you know what you need? You need a guy that will spank you, you know, to the point of waking you up and making
my
you
dad
realize.
Always says I need a guy that's gonna be like, no. Like, just tell me something straight. Like, somebody who's going to be like
that?
No. Def not. I don't know. Him and my mom actually just split after 33 years, and now he wants to be back with her.
Oh, really?
Oh, good. Oh, wow. good.
That's the latest news.
Because she met somebody. And he's like, no. Nope. I want to come home.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's probably not going to happen, Dad.
Well, you see, that's what happens when you see a person is like, your possession or something, then you get really jealous because you can't take what's mine.
Right.
You know, but yet he was okay with himself doing that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't work anymore.
He's crazy. But he's not like that, no.
So Monterey, and so when did you move to L.A.? A long time ago?
Well, I've been to L.A. twice. So then I went to college, San Luis Obispo. Then I went to San Jose State, and then from there, I met up with the Supercuts people, and they were opening a franchise in North Hollywood. So that's when I moved to North Hollywood.
Oh, is that where it started?
Uh-huh. It started up in the Bay Area.
Oh, it did start
in the Bay Area. Yeah, it started in Marin County. Yeah, San Rafael was their first store.
Interesting.
So they opened a company. Yeah, they were.
I would imagine.
Yeah, and so they started a company store in North Hollywood, and I was like, "Oh, I want to go to L.A. I'll go to L.A."
Right.
So I packed up my truck all by myself. I didn't tell my parents or anybody because they would have talked me out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I moved down to L.A.
Whoa!
Yeah, and helped.
That's a bold move.
Yeah. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
And that store on Laurel and Burbank, it's still there.
Wow.
Yeah, the store is still there.
And Laurel and Burbank, I'm going to go check it out.
Supercuts is still there. Yeah. So then from there, they opened, they needed me at the corporate office because I became a vice president and I was in charge of all the training. So I had to move back up to the Bay Area.
I see.
So then I stayed there 17 years. Oh. And I was like, ugh, I don't like it.
Yeah, no.
That's
yeah.
a long Uh-oh. Time, Valerie, yeah, to be time. With one company, right?
No, I was only with them for 4 years.
Oh, yeah. So why'd you say... in this Bay Area for 17.
So I moved there.
Yeah.
Right.
And then a couple of years went by, and I was like, something happened. And then I wasn't with them anymore, but I okay. stayed in the Bay Area.
Gotcha, gotcha.
Right. For, you know, and gotcha. Opened a salon. That's what kept me there so long. I opened a salon, and, you know, your clients don't want you to go anywhere. Oh, what am I going to
yeah,
do
Yeah, right.
You?
No, because you get attached. You I get attached to anyone who attached. Does my brows, my
who
hair.
Can, and who can cut right.
Right.
I mean, you know, if you say you want a quarter inch, I'm going to cut a quarter inch.
Right.
I'm not going to cut 4 inches.
Right. And so, some hairstylists be doing that, like as a yeah. like as if their hair is short. And I'm like, yeah. girl, no.
Or they don't know what they're doing.
Yes.
So they, like you said, you wind up with it crooked. And yeah. now I got to, you know, and then it goes like that. So, and then from there, I was like, I can't take it after 17 years. I want to come back to the sunshine in LA.
Right.
And I just like Los Angeles. I like the valley. There's just something about
right.
it. I like LA.
Yeah.
And so I came back a while ago.
That's
yeah,
very
so
nice.
Now I've been back.
And Dimitri, what about you? Where did you originate?
Well, see, I was born in Montreal, Canada.
Okay.
And but I grew up for most of my life in Brooklyn, New York.
Oh,
okay.
Really?
Yeah.
yeah.
And then migrated over here with the birds.
Mm.
And, you know, more stable. You know,
so how did
you,
at what point in your life did you move from Montreal to New York?
I was just born there. Yeah.
Oh, I see. And right away.
So basically, you're like a Brooklyn native.
So you're a Brooklyn
pretty
native.
Much.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. 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 But
what was that nice like living in Brooklyn for you?
You know, Brooklyn like was it? Fun.
Did you yeah. have a good childhood?
Yeah. You know, I did. I've got two brothers. I've got one sister. And we pretty much grew up like with our cousins. So we lived in this house in New York that had like, it was like a 3-story house.
Right. Uh-huh.
So it was like our family was on the first floor. And then on the second floor was my mom's sister and her family. She had 5 kids.
Oh my God.
And we're all roughly around the same age. Yeah.
Yes.
Most was busy.
At least a lot of kids.
yeah.
A lot of
right.
kids.
And then at the top floor, there were the twin sisters that my parents knew that they rented out the top floor to. So
I'm a twin.
Oh, are you?
You
oh,
are.
Pretty
that's
cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
I actually know a couple of twins.
Yeah.
Yeah, twins are cool.
Yeah. yeah.
But anyway, I just remember, like, you know, my father had this. We had like these arcades. So you know, like, when you play like Pac-Man or mm-hmm. you play like any of those, you know, big arcades at the arcade store, we had them in the garage.
Oh,
so it was kind of
wow.
cool.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
And plus,
I'm
a lot of kids to play with.
Yeah,
right?
yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
you went alone.
So,
you
so everyone wanted to go yeah. to your house after
exactly.
school, basically.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And then, like, in the middle of the street where we grew up, in New York, there's this, you know, if you're from New York, you know this game called Skelly Top.
Nope. No
okay.
clue.
So it's basically like this big, like, grid, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And there's, like, boxes in there, and then you use, like, the top of, like, the water bottle, like, the milk carton or whatever.
Right.
You used to have tops.
Right.
And then you would basically have to flick it so that way you can get the person out of the box and you get collect points as you go.
Oh, okay. That's similar to yeah. hopscotch and all that stuff. Right?
I don't think it's like hopscotch.
It's not really
no.
hopscotch.
No,
it's like bocce
hopping.
Ball. Yeah. It's like bocce ball. You're knocking
no,
ball
but the all the squares and stuff on the ground. Isn't that what you do
I
with
I think that's
hopscotch?
Where the similarities stop.
Yeah. yeah, that's probably the only similarity.
Okay, well, whatever.
But I appreciate you trying, though. That was cool.
I'm just thinking boxes yes. with numbers and whatever it is.
So do you like Los Angeles better or New York?
You know, here's the thing. Like,
especially for fashion, you would think that you'd want to be... Well, I guess L.A. is kind of taken
well,
over now.
Yeah, you know, I think L.A. and New York have both changed
right.
in reality. New York is not the same New York as it used to be.
Right, it's not the Sex and the City New York.
No, it's just not like, you know, I feel like there was always so much culture
right.
in New York that was so blended in on pretty much every block that you were on. You
right.
know? And, you know, because of gentrification and, like, everything that's been happening, you know, from, like, the 2000s all the way up, that is just different.
Right.
Know? But the weather here is way better.
Way better. Oh, my God. And you don't have to shovel.
Get
yeah.
Like, worry about a
yeah.
snow day
right.
or cancellations because
right.
of snow.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and you don't appreciate it until you leave here, you know?
Yeah.
Like, San Francisco, 4 days, overcast the whole time.
Right. You but know? It was overcast here all weekend, too.
But then it gets like this, right?
Yeah, but then it goes like this. Yeah, yeah.
But then, and we go by the beach, and it's all like gloomy and everything.
And cold.
Really. And cold, you know, and you go, wow, you know, I mean, this is like the ocean, this is like this, but you don't get the sun that much. So, yeah, so we really, we need to be grateful for what we have here, you know.
Yo, absolutely. And, you know, I mean, pretty much what, you're in L.A., within 2 hours, you could have completely different experiences, whether it's the beach, the mountains,
right,
the desert,
You know, I mean, it's all everything. Right here. So it's nice.
Yeah,
exactly.
Nice. That's for sure. Yeah. I'm trying to convince my sister to come out here. It's just hard when you have like no family.
Oh,
it is hard. It is hard. Mm-hmm. You know, I came here to America when I was 16, and all I had was an uncle and aunt.
Right.
And he turned out to be a son of a bitch. So, So it's so essentially, I was just pretty much alone, and it's not fun. But you know what? It makes you really strong, you know, and independent and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I've gotten used to living by myself. Now my son moved in with me. So as he came back after his graduation, now he moved back in with me. And, you know, we haven't lived together since he was like a kid, you know. So it's interesting, you know.
Yeah, it's
Just temporary, right? Just temporary.
Yeah, until he gets on his feet and stuff, you know, maybe a few months, which is fine.
That's not bad.
My biggest contention was his cat. But so far, I'm falling in love with the cat before I get angry with it. So, but he goes everywhere, you know, and it's like the hair and stuff. But so far, I'm not feeling the hair, so I'm good.
Right.
Well, you know, the good thing about cats is that they make sure that you don't have any mice around.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, you know what? In my apartment, I don't have any mice. I'm not worried about it. Let's put it that
way. I'm a dog girl, 110%.
Mm-hmm. Dogs are cool.
So for you guys' this fashion magazine, are you like the typical fashion look, like 5'10 for a girl, skinny? Are you doing plus size yet?
Actually, for us, we feature primarily talent.
Mm-hmm. So what do you mean? TV stars. Like TV stars.
Yeah, like people that already are known in a way or something.
Gotcha. So it's not like...
That's what they're all beautiful.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
You get a range of sizes because everybody's not a sample size.
No,
TV.
Yeah.
And then we also do a range of ages and colors, and we have some of everybody.
That's cool.
I would feel like the magazine is definitely diverse in age. Not only in, you know, background, but also in sizes as well, too.
Right, yeah. Okay. Right.
These are your, representative of the average person out there.
Yeah, you know for sure.
So when you're watching television, this is what normal life looks like.
Okay, yeah, because I've definitely seen you guys tagged in some pictures, for sure.
Yeah.
110% down the timeline. Because as soon as I heard that, I was like, this is very familiar to me.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you watch a lot of TV?
I watch so much TV.
What's your favorite TV show?
How to Get Away with Murder.
Have we done someone on How to Get Away yet?
I don't think
I just met Jack Jack Fali. I went to Alcove. Never been there before, but my friend was like, let's grab brunch there. And I grabbed brunch and I was standing there. And I'm also the guy from, I forget his name, but he's really tall, kind of chubby. He used to be like in all the black films back in the day, but he was the comedian. Like
that doesn't
I know.
There's a million of them.
I don't know his. I don't know his name. But like, as soon as I walked in, I saw him and I fangirled. And I'm like a keep a cool kind of chick. But I'm like, I grew up watching them, you know. And then I'm like sitting at my table waiting for my breakfast to come, and I turn to the side and I can recognize the guy's jawline from anywhere. I'm like, that guy's on How to Get Away with Murder, and I don't want to embarrass him, but I have to say something. So
you
I'm
know
like,
what? It's always like even. You know, I would say, us, we've been doing it, for like 8 years now?
Mm-hmm.
But there are just
certain people
that when they come into the room and you're like pinching yourself.
Yeah, like no, is this happening?
Is this happening?
Yeah.
You know? Joe Morton. Remember we did Joe Morton? We talked with him for like 25 minutes. He's on Scandal.
He was on Scandal.
He plays
Olivia's.
I'm obsessed with him.
Oh, my gosh. So when
he's an incredible actor.
It was almost like a
like a master class.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, it was real cool. Like, we literally talked for that long before we even picked up the cameras and started to shoot. Like, he was just telling us so much about the business and so much about, like, his experience and just, you know, so when you get that and you're like, I'm talking to this guy and this guy
Lou
is,
Diamond
you know,
Phillips was another one. He had jokes and it was fun. And they roll in by themselves. These are guys that are, you know, they've been around. They don't have a posse.
Right,
they just
right.
come all alone.
Right.
And just, they know how to entertain a crowd, and you don't feel like you never knew them.
Right.
You feel like you've been friends forever.
Right. That's awesome.
Yeah, there's some amazing people out there.
Yeah, I didn't know if he was, like, grooving to the fact that I, like, knocked him on the shoulder and made him take out his headphones, but I was like, hey. Yeah. I was like, hey, I don't want to cause a scene. I don't want anyone to, like, think
that's
I'm coming up to
that's
you.
That's a good disclaimer.
And I was like, I just want to let you know that How to Get Away with Murder is, like, one of my favorite shows, and I absolutely hate your character on there, but you do, you perform
you
it really
job.
Well. Yeah. And he started laughing, but he, like, didn't speak. It was like it was like kind of like a kind of like a disappointment. Like I was almost like, well, you could have been a little friendlier. It's only on season 3.
But I
maybe shy. You never
no,
know.
I can say I have a pretty famous person that I do hair and makeup for, and I follow her around all over the world,
right.
and do press. And sometimes it's just weird. You know, people appreciate you,
right?
But sometimes when they walk up to you and you don't know how many people have done it already.
Right.
It's just weird. People.
But no one recognized him in there. I was the only person.
No, that was there.
That was there.
Yeah. You just don't know what their day is
and
like.
And how many people have like.
You don't know. You don't know what their agent is telling them.
Right.
You just don't know. So
and then
people always
they don't
assume.
Know what to expect.
Yeah. Right. Like I could have been like, hey, I hate
having
the show.
A stranger bum rush you, even if they're saying something nice. It is a weird experience.
Right, right. But you have it's to be prepared strange. For it if you're going to be famous. If you're going to be on TV.
You can say that. You can
you
say
know,
that. But basically.
It's part of the job, no?
It is, but it kind of isn't. It doesn't. Who said it goes with the territory?
Well, because you were like. You're like in a glass house when you're a celebrity or relatively known. So it's hard to expect that, you know. You have to think, okay, if I'm going to be in something that I'm going to be famous in, and I have to anticipate that people will come to me,
but like you
and
said,
they have good intentions, but
sometimes people are shy.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes right. I have a headache. So
right.
I'm just saying, you have to give people leeway. That's
right.
not always.
No, no, that's fine.
But you
got to
give them a little leeway.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, he wasn't rude. He was just really
exactly.
quiet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
yeah.
Here's
and it could
thing.
Be
here's
anything.
Here's
and he doesn't need to entertain you.
No,
or
not
nice
at all. And
you.
I got really awkward. I even ended up by saying, well, I'm going to walk away before this gets awkward.
Yeah, which is great. You know, you had your
well,
thing.
Well, you also have to understand that, too. Like, you know, sometimes you see someone and you expect them to be exactly how they are in television.
Right.
Or exactly how they are in a film.
Mm-hmm.
And in reality, they're just playing a role.
Right.
Right.
So everyone still has, like, their own personality. There's
mm-hmm.
times where we've had people in the studio or shooting them or whatever the
mm-hmm.
case is, and they're very shy.
Right.
Very reserved. And
the best actors are usually shy, I
very,
think.
Yeah.
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 But it's so crazy because I've met so many famous people in my day, and mm-hmm. I usually never get shy. And for him, I was like...
You always have the one or two. The one or two top.
Like, I've met, like, high, like, elite people where I'm just like, yeah, what's up?
Yeah.
Like, I've met Mark. I've, like, literally been shoulder to shoulder Mark Wahlberg and acted like...
But he's a Boston guy.
Yeah, he's a Boston.
And you're
yeah,
from Boston.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's, like,
exactly.
different. Yeah.
yeah.
But then I met someone on How to Get Away with Murder, and I was like...
yeah.
Please tell Viola Davis to call me so we can chat on brunch one day. Love her.
Well, if we ever shoot him, we'll just make sure that you're nowhere near.
Yeah, literally, literally. I'll look like such a creep, like, hey, I'm at your shoot now.
Let me in, let me in.
You know, but if you guys are into fashion and stuff like this, this is a must read, a must see. I mean, I'm going through some of your issues here. And, I mean, it's just really, really high quality stuff. I mean... You guys are churning out some really great pictures.
Thank you.
Really
so when you do
pictures.
A shoot, do you guys come up with the concept or does the talent?
Really, there is never like a really hard concept.
Really?
You know, we, as I said before, really the only thing that changes is just the faces.
Right.
I never really plan a photo shoot.
Yeah.
Everything that I do.
What
is
about
really,
wardrobe, though?
Yeah. Wardrobe, we usually will go over that. We'll,
right.
You know, we'll talk to their people and find out some of the things that maybe they like or don't like
mm-hmm.
or things that... you know, look flattering or things that are not flattering, you know. So we go over those things because we want them to be feel comfortable.
Right.
But as far as, like, conceptual, it's weird because Val's been working with me for the past 15 years and she still doesn't know what I'm going to do until I actually do it.
Right.
It's just things that I, you know, I see dead people.
Classic movie.
Yeah. No. But, yeah, it's just, you know, I have a very organic approach to it.
Right.
My approach is I go based on the feeling and the mood of the talent,
mm-hmm.
and then I adjust myself to make sure that I get a shot that's going to be complimentary.
Right.
And that's how I do it.
Right. And for instance, like when you do a photo shoot, is it when you pick the picture that's going to be in the magazine, is it your final say, or do you have to like agree with the talent? Because I know sometimes, I've done photo shoots before where the photographer has loved pictures where I'm like, don't ever post that.
Yeah.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they like see something else that I don't.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no.
You know, the thing is, we basically take care of all the approval.
Right.
We don't send those out.
Gotcha.
And, you know, we have such a great track record of what we put out.
People just trust you.
That it boils down to trust.
Gotcha.
You know? And yeah. if there's ever a situation where I'm like, oh, I really love this, but I'm not sure if they are.
Right.
Then, you know, on a case by case, I may, you know, call up their people and say, hey, what do you think? But rarely, if I have to question it, then I just omit it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And yeah. How long are photo shoots usually? Because some people like are better
Another
on camera.
Great question.
Why don't you guess?
Great question.
I'm gonna put it to you.
How many looks
we're
do
shooting?
You do?
We're shooting a female
right.
talent,
mm-hmm.
and we've got hair and makeup. We're gonna do.
But you're doing hair and makeup yourself?
Yes.
Yes.
I do both.
So it's an hour and a half.
So we're doing hair and makeup.
Yeah.
We have about 10 to 12 different looks.
Oh, wow.
How long?
8 hours. Think? 4 hours, that's
four
it? With hair and makeup?
Four to five.
Wow.
Wow. Four to five.
That's a long time.
And guys are so like...
No, I was thinking like 8, 12 outfits.
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking like a full outfits. Day. Yeah. Yeah, like a 9 to 5.
But they're professionals. They go one after another.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, the other thing too...
But what if they're uncomfortable on camera? Because some people are really good at acting, but they don't feel comfortable modeling.
Another great question.
Yeah.
That's what I do. And that's why I keep it very organic.
Yeah.
See, the thing is that I don't have like this big blueprint of like what we're going to shoot, because I could have this whole, you know, thing like laid out. And
right.
They come that particular day. And something happened that morning or something happened the day before and they're just not feeling it. They're not in the mood.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm really, to me, I've got just a few minutes when they walk in the door to be able to read them and to be able to see exactly what kind of mood that they're in.
Oh,
so
damn.
I can adjust to that. Yeah.
What happens if they're in a bad mood, like from beginning to end?
We kind of have a way to work that out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Personalities between the two of us.
Yeah.
Either I'll take it, you know, and warm them up because I get them first.
Right.
Or sometimes D.
Usually my mood is definitely fixed on hair and makeup. Mm-hmm. Like if I get out of the makeup or hair chair and I'm not feeling myself, my mood is shit. Mm-hmm. I'm like, nope.
Right.
Not doing it.
Right.
That's usually
when I have to step up. Yes.
And you can tell when somebody like loves their hair
Absolutely.
And makeup, like while you're doing it. And I feel like makeup artists, like I've done like a few video shoots, like rap videos and stuff. And you can just tell like I've been on some sets where I'm like, where do you think I'm going? I'm not
Side
getting on
eye.
Camera. Yeah. Like, no, honey.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned you only have photos here, but you have so many articles and stuff too on your Regard magazine, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there are interviews that we do with the talent.
Right.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And so on the website, you have features, you know, you have all kinds of different
things. That's really
smart,
actually.
So you guys really should check it out. I'm very impressed.
So one more question.
Regardmag.com. Yeah, we're totally almost out of time. Go ahead.
Yeah, so how often does your magazine come out? Is it only online or can they buy it?
It's online, 6 issues per year. If you want to buy a hard copy, we have what we call a print-on-demand feature, where you can actually order a hard copy, which is, it's actually a beautiful coffee table book.
Right. Because a lot of people are into that. I want coffee table books.
Yeah, it usually comes out because we usually produce about 250 to 300 pages, you know, for the entire magazine. So it comes out to roughly about $50.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
But if your favorite, you know, XYZ is in the issue.
Right. So how many people are in an issue if there's only 6 issues a year?
Usually about 10.
Okay. And how many pictures each? Like, because you're doing 12 outfits, you probably pick 4, right?
Mm-hmm. No.
You're picking all 12?
Yeah.
Oh, so they get like their whole like mini section.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. Each one has a section.
Oh, yeah.
Here.
It's really a true feature.
Oh, cool. Because I like when you get like a magazine, they have like only 2 pictures. You're like, I bought this for this, and you only have 2 pictures in it.
No.
You know.
Yeah. No, ours is definitely a spread. So you know, be prepared to see anywhere from like 14 to 20 pages of just that one.
That person.
Yeah, and I think the interview is actually kind of a cool because it's like everybody loves a good interview with the person that they love to watch.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah, and if it's people that you know because you follow them on social media or follow them on TV, movies, whatever, this is the place to see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, guys, you're very very impressive what you've done.
Thank you.
Put together and stuff. We wish you a lot more, many more years of this.
Appreciate it.
What's in the future for you guys, at least the near future? Are you going to keep cranking out the issues?
Yeah, I mean, in the near future, we just found out about the pre-ESPY party that we're going to have. So we're going to go ahead and...
And that's July 17th.
We'll make ourselves available on July 17th.
It was literally the first thing at the top of the email.
I know.
It was like a point. Hey, yes, they're doing...
Yes. And, you know, I definitely want to talk a little bit about that. I know we're almost out of time, but...
Yes.
So the pre-ESPY issue is really to celebrate our annual sports and athletes issue. So we feature different people from different sports that include, you know, basketball, that include baseball, that include fencing, that include...
Fencing?
Volleyball.
Very cool.
I know all the pictures in fencing outfits are like shirt off by the pool.
No. So we've got this young lady. Her name is Ibtihaj Muhammad.
Uh-huh.
And she was actually the first Muslim American woman to wear a hijab.
Yeah,
for her Olympic fencing.
Oh, wow.
And so we're going to be featuring her in the issue. We've got someone who plays volleyball. We've got someone from the WWE.
Okay.
And believe it, they are athletes.
Yeah, for sure.
Do. Yeah, so.
Very cool. So you guys really get to mingle with a lot of great people. Yeah. That's
lots
the bottom line.
Yeah.
Cool. Tell people how they can find you, social media, website. We already gave them a million times. It's regardmag.com. Social media is right there on the website. I mean, you guys don't have to.
Yeah, so the magazine is on Instagram, at Regard Mag. And if you want to catch it on Twitter, it's at Regard Mag. And if you want to catch it on Facebook, it's Regard Magazine.
There you go. And I'm telling you, the pictures are really, really nice. I mean, the color you put together, the designs,
mm-hmm.
and the photos are such good quality. You know, I mean, very amazing. Guys, thank you so much for joining us.
We appreciate
thank
it.
You're a lot of fun.
Oh, my God. You guys shot Sterling K. Brown.
Oh, we have a lot of people. We've done lots of people. So
obviously,
amazing.
They have.
Some of your favorites.
All right. Well, thank you guys again. Much continued success to you, really. You deserve it.
Thank you.
You created something really nice that you can be proud of. And that's amazing. Thank you so much. Thanks, everybody,
thank you
for listening. Danny, thank you. As
you're
always,
welcome.
See everybody tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.